Ezekiel chapter 25 tonight. As we move into this chapter, we're moving into a different portion of Ezekiel's prophecy. Everything up to this point has been focused to the nation of Israel. The message has been singular. You've sinned. God's judgment is coming. Repent. And when we finished with chapter 24 last week, Ezekiel said, I gave you fair warning. Now it's coming. No time left. It's here. When we get to chapter 25, Ezekiel moves his prophecy away from the nation of Israel, at least immediately, and deals with the nations around them that were involved in the judgment of God. Tonight, Ezekiel is going to speak to four different nations. And I'm going to put them on the map here. The first one that he will speak to is the Ammonites, which is up to the east of the Jordan River. Then the Moabites underneath them to the south, the Edomites down below that, and then the Philistines or Philistines, depending on which level you put the accent. They're out by the Mediterranean. Those four nations were involved with the judgment of Israel, and not in a good way. And Ezekiel is going to speak the words of God to them. So what I'm going to do is put up a little chart here with each of the nations, the reason why God is judging them and the type of judgment that would come upon them. Ezekiel chapter 25, and the first nation is that of the Ammonites. That should be 1 through 7, not 10 through 7. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against the Ammonites, and prophesy against them. Say unto the Ammonites, Hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because thou saidst, Aha! Against my sanctuary, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah, when they went into captivity, behold, therefore, I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession, and they shall set their palaces in thee, and make their dwellings in thee, and they shall eat thy food, and they shall drink thy milk, and I will make Rabbah a stable for camels, and the Ammonites a couching place for flocks, and you shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast clapped thine hands, stamped with thy feet, and rejoiced in heart with all thy despite, O despot, against the land of Israel. Behold, therefore, I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and will deliver thee for a spoil to the heathen. And I will cut thee off from the people, and I will cause thee to perish out of the countries. I will destroy thee, and thou shalt know I am the Lord. The reason that God is bringing on judgment is that these people took pleasure in the destruction of Jerusalem, particularly in the destruction of the temple. Now remember, the temple was significant because that was the place where God resided. Now, before the destruction came from the Babylonians, the Spirit of God left. But nonetheless, that had been the place. It was Solomon's building. It was one of the great wonders of the world. It was the place where Israel worshipped. And now, it's gone. And these people were saying, isn't that great? Look at the destruction that came. I guess we're not so bad after all. Because Israel had said, look, there's only one God. And he's worshipped right here in the temple. This is where God resides, in the heart of Israel. Now there's no temple. And the Ammonites are saying, this is great. This is fantastic. This is wonderful. What kind of judgment is going to come Well, there's going to be an invasion from the men of the east. Scripture does not specifically say who they were. It could have been a bunch of Bedouin tribes, and there's some reason to believe that. For it says here that it's going to be, where is it here? Verse 4. They shall set their palaces in thee, they'll make their dwellings in thee, shall eat the fruit, drink the milk. The camels. It's going to be a stable for camels and a couching place for flocks. It seems like that might be Bedouins that are coming in there. On the other hand, we'll see when we get to the children of Moab, they are going to suffer the same thing. And history records for us that the Babylonians came against them. So it could be the Babylonians as well. Either way, the people of the Ammonites are going to be routed out of their country, and it's going to be occupied by others, simply because they rejoiced at the destruction of Jerusalem, and specifically its temple. The next is the Moabites, verses 8 through 12. Thus saith the Lord God, because that Moab and Seir do say, behold, the house of Judah is like unto all the heathen. Therefore, behold, I will open the side of Moab, and from the cities, and from the cities which are on his frontiers, the glory of the country Beth Jehemoth and Baal Meon and Kiriathaim. Where would you like to say those words for me? I didn't think so either. Unto the men of the east with the Ammonites, and will give them in possession, that the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Once again, we have a reason for the judgment. These people are saying that the Israelites were no better off than any other people. Oh, they said they had God in their midst. They said they were God's chosen people. They said they were the apple of his eye. And look what happened to them. Their God, if he even exists, destroyed them. Which means that we're just as well off as they are. They kept saying we're sinners, we're heathens, we're no good, we need to trust their God. Well, what kind of a God would destroy them? I guess we're really all right, just the way we are. Which is an insult to God's salvation. So God's bringing judgment against them, and they too will have the same invasion and the ending of their national identity. What's interesting about these two countries? Well, what's interesting is that they're both blood relatives of the Jews. Remember where these people come from. They are both descendants of Lot's daughters. I want you to keep your finger here and turn back with me to Numbers chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, which, by the way, means the house of God, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. There Abram comes back to worship God. Notice it says that Abram did that. And there doesn't seem to be anybody else with him. Verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So he was rich too. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thine, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Look, guys, we've got this whole vast territory out here. We're kind of cramped together here. We're getting on each other's nerves. Tell you what, you choose whatever place you want to settle, and I'll go the opposite direction. If you want to go to the east, I'll go to the west. If you want to go to the north, I'll go to the south. Whatever it is, you choose. I'll take what's left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as shall come out of Zoar. Then Lot chose them the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Why did Lot choose the plain of Jordan? Money. He looked at that and said, Uncle Abram's got a lot of money. I've got a lot of money, but not as much as him. If I go over here, man, I'm going to be rolling in it. And for a while, his plan worked. As we get to later chapters, we find him sitting at the gate in Sodom, which is a place of prestige, a place where business is done. And he has two daughters who were engaged to be married to Sodomites. The angels come. Excuse me. Guys got to get out of here. You can't destroy the city until you guys are out, until you're delivered. Lot was a righteous person. New Testament tells us that. His righteous soul was vexed day in and day out. But he's living in the middle of sin, being tempted day in and day out with it, adopting their lifestyles to a certain extent. He hesitated. When he preached to his family, they said, you're nuts. I don't know what the Hebrew words for that is, but that's what. He had to drag them out. And his wife turned around, as you know, and became a pillar of salt, which she wasn't supposed to do. So now the city is destroyed. Let's destroy with the city all of Lot's possessions. He comes out broke. They get up into the mountains, and his daughters say, we've got real problems here. We're all alone. Because not only did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but the cities around them. So they're living in an area where no one is living. And the daughters are saying, we've got a problem here. There's no one to marry us. There's no one to raise up seed. We're going to exist for a while. Then we're all going to die off. We won't have anybody to pass our things along to. We don't have much, but just the clothes on our back. So let's get Dad to have an incestuous relationship with us, and hopefully we'll have kids from it. And they did. One was named Ammon, one was named Moab. What was the problem all along? God didn't supply for us like he did for Abram. What did God promise Abram? You shall be the father many nations. What did Lot's daughters have? Nobody. Flocks and herds and gold, and lost everything.
That's not fair.
You can hear the envy, the jealousy. And when this comes on the nation of Israel, aha! We weren't so bad after all. Finally, justice is done. Now, look who's got the judgment, and look who's surviving. That's their joy. God said, wait a minute. Your day is coming. Let's go back to Ezekiel 25. So the next one is Edom and the Edomites. Verse 12. Thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom hath dwelt against the house of Judah by taking vengeance, and hath greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand upon Edom, and will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate from Teman, and they of Dedan shall fall by the sword, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God. Edom was subjugated by David and his men. They didn't like it. They waited and they waited and they waited for a time to get revenge. And now when the Babylonians came down, Edom says, that'll be great. Let's help these guys out. God's been blessing them, and we're living down here in a desert-like place. It is now what's known as the Negev, the southern part of Israel. And it's basically a wasteland. Not much blessing there. Who were the Edomites? Well, if you go back a little bit farther than Lot, you go back before Abraham, after Abraham comes Isaac. And Isaac had two children, Jacob and Esau. Esau is the father of the Edomites. Now, what was Esau's problem? Esau was the firstborn. Who is the firstborn normally in the line of succession and inheritance? The one that would get the double portion. But remember, Esau was a person who said one day to his brother Jacob, man, I'm hungry. If you would give me something to eat, just a bowl of oatmeal, instant oatmeal, grits if you must, I'll give you my birthright. What does Esau think about the succession in the plan of God? I'd rather have that which applies to the flesh. And when it comes time for the blessing, you remember the story how Jacob tried to imitate his brother, and Isaac conferred the blessing upon him. Esau got nothing. And man, was he angry. He was boiling. And throughout all their years, Esau was mad at his brother. And his descendants were mad at Jacob's descendants. Now it's time for revenge. And God said, okay, you've been harboring this. You don't care about who I choose to bless. You don't care about my choices. Your justice is better in your mind than my justice. Your will is better than my will. You're going to be invaded too, and later conquered by Israel. which it was. And now where Edom is today is part of Israel. The territories of the Ammonites and the Moabites are modern-day Jordan. In fact, the Ammonites, I don't want to go back over all this thing, but there was a part of land on the eastern side of the Jordan River that belonged to half the tribe of Manasseh and I can't remember the other tribe, but it belonged to Israel. And when the Assyrians came down in 722 B.C., conquered the northern kingdom, the Ammonites took that over as their own. Now they're displaced. Last one, Philistia, or the Philistines, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord God, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart to destroy it for the old hatred, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the cherubims and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. And I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon them. The Philistines had a hatred and revenge for Israel because they ruled over them. When did that happen? Well, you remember this young shepherd boy had a sling, just a couple of rocks. And the Philistines had this 9 foot tall person. Huge guy. You might have seen Hulk Hogan Thursday night. Goliath was 3, if not 4, Hulk Hogans rolled into one. Big guy. Okay? He was the bully. No one dared come against Goliath. And now you have this little shepherd boy with no... It's not like he had a semi-automatic rifle or a cannon or a bazooka or one of those cruise missiles or anything like that. He had a rock, and he slung the thing, and it hits Goliath in the head, knocks him down, and David comes, takes his sword, kills him. He got lucky. I mean, what else can explain it? Here's this, to throw this rock at this distance and kill this big guy with just a... How do you explain that other than luck? Exactly. God did it. No. God doesn't do those kinds of things. We get whatever we want. So we have David now as king of Israel. He has defeated the Philistines, not only with Goliath, but other battles with them, subjugated them. That lasts through Solomon, but when the kingdom divides after Solomon, the Philistines kind of gain their independence. But they're not yet ready to attack Israel and defeat them. Now Israel is vulnerable. And the Philistines are just waiting and waiting and looking for an opportunity to get back revenge. And God says, I'm going to take care of you again. The Philistines allied themselves with the Egyptians when the Babylonians came, and they suffered a crushing defeat. All of these people had a hatred for Israel, but even more a hatred for Israel's God. As I noted this morning, Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham that whoever would bless them, he would bless. And whoever would curse him, he would curse. And here are 4 nations that cursed Israel, that really cursed Israel's God. What do we learn from this? Three things that I want you to take home with you tonight. Number one, whenever someone thinks times of troubles in a believer's life is proof that God does not exist, they are in grave danger of finding out they were wrong. In each one of these prophecies, they all end with this, and they shall know that I am the Lord. People look at a Christian who's suffering. Well, where's your God in all this? He doesn't exist, does he? Yes, he does. It may be because of sin in the believer's life that God is judging him. That's what happened with Israel. And it may be just that God is putting them through a trial, knowing that their trial of faith is more precious than gold and silver. But God exists, and God is accomplishing his purposes. And these folks, when they exalt because someone else is getting it, are going to find out that they were wrong. Secondly, whenever someone is jealous of God's blessing of another, they are in grave danger of severe judgment upon themselves. I don't like this. Why did this one get this blessing and I didn't? I'll be real honest with you. There have been times long ago when I said to myself, here I am in a church that is seeking to preach the word of God faithfully, to rightly divide it and honor God in the best way that I know how. And where are these other churches and cults and so forth that couldn't care less about biblical truth? And they have thousands of people coming to them. That's not fair. And fortunately, I repented about that thought. And thank God for the blessing that I am where I am. Because when we get jealous of other people's blessings, we're basically saying God doesn't know what he's doing. And he'll tell you, yes, I do. And you won't like it. Thirdly, whenever someone seeks to destroy the nation of Israel, they are putting themselves in grave danger of being destroyed themselves. The saying is this, there's one thing we've learned from history, and that is that we haven't learned from history. Each of these four prophecies on these four nations historically took place. God said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. They cursed Israel. God said, I'll take care of it. And he did. Of course, no one today is seeking to curse Israel. Oh, by the way, you know what? Well, I'm not going back to the beginning. Yes, I am. Give me a second here. Look at the map. They're surrounded on the east by the Ammonites and the Moabites. They're surrounded on the south by the Edomites. They're surrounded to the west by the Philistines. What direction could they go? Water. What did the Arab nations say in 1967? We're going to drive Israel into the sea. Not much has changed, has it? This does not mean that we should not confront Israel when it's doing things sinfully. In fact, you bless a person when you confront their sin. Nathan and David. Ultimately, David was blessed by Nathan coming to him and pointing out, hey, what you did with Bathsheba and Uriah was wrong. It doesn't mean that we don't point out things that are wrong, but we don't seek the judgment of God upon them. We bless Israel. And our nation today is in grave danger of removing its support for the nation. And when that happens, goodbye, United States of America. It's a fact of history. It's a fact of prophecy. One thing we've learned from history is that we haven't learned from history. Oh God, please let us learn this one before it's too late. Let's pray. Father, what an awesome God we serve. A God who loves us so much that He stretched out His arms on the cross of Calvary, bearing our sins, and died for us that we might have life. A God who loved Israel. A nation that was the apple of His eye. A God that blessed Israel beyond measure. And even though Israel has rejected their Messiah, You are a God that still loves them. And one day they will recognize that the one whom they have pierced is the one who came to be their Messiah and will come to repentance, and Your love will pour out amongst them once again. Lord, in this day and age where we get so upset with people who are being blessed when we think we should be, and people who have supposedly done us wrong, and we call down the vengeance of a God that we don't even know exists, Lord, help us to recognize that You are Jehovah. You are the Lord. And may Your blessing rest upon us. For the glory of God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Have a good week.